problem in theory of knowledge. So ever since the Renaissance, if you use knowledge as something that steadily accumulates, you get higher every year by climbing the mountain. That's a common secular look at what you're saying is that it's not like that. If anything, there's a
that's what he said, but he also says that today's inventions are built on the earlier generations without giving due credit to the earlier generations. That's what he
said.
He's not talking about that. He did not talk about that.
Or are we simply wandering?
Again, he did not address that. That wasn't what he was saying. Okay, we have work to do. We are on that government base. And I want to introduce the next piece of Gemara, and I think the introduction will make it easier to understand. Challah is the same as truma. And just like there are certain things that can be metame truma and not chulin, there are certain things that can be metame challah and not chulin. For instance, as we mentioned a while ago, an avat truma can be metame a person and kelim, and can make them a rishon. A rishon can no longer be metame a person or kelim biblically, but they can be metame food or drink. And by chulin, that's where it ends. It ends at sheni. Second level of tuma, meaning really the third level, is the father of tuma, the first and the second. Any chulin food beyond that is not tame. By truma, there's an added level. Food can make truma a shlishi. That's what we need for our Gemara. We don't need any more. Challah is similar to truma. Challah is also susceptible. Again, challah is, let me explain what it is. It's not what you eat Friday night. It's that they separated from the dough a certain percentage of the dough and gave it to the kayin. And they gave it to the kayin. It was like truma. The kayin had to keep it in tara. If the challah is tameh, it has to be burnt. It cannot be eaten. Just like truma tameya cannot be eaten. Now, today's challah is not that. It's a rabbinic chiyuv that we have to maintain, and we separate a piece of dough as challah and we burn it. But in the days of when they kept truma tara in an Eretz Yisrael, they separated challah and they gave it to a kayin who baked it, did whatever he wanted with it, but he had to treat it like truma, the level of tara of truma. What the Gemara is discussing now is a concept called chulin hatvulin l'chala. You have dough, you made a nice piece of dough, it's ready to remove challah, but you have not removed challah as of yet. It is still prior to your removal of challah, but it's ready to remove challah. The next step will be to remove challah. Is that considered like challah that it receives a higher level of tumah? Because in this dough is the potential challah. Or do we say, no, it's not challah. At this point, it's regular dough. That's going to be the discussion of the Gemara. In Hebrew, we call this chulin hatvulim l'challah. Chulin that is ready, it's tevel for challah, which means the dough is made. Before the dough is made, we're not talking about challah. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about water and flour. But once the dough is made, it is now dough. Now, the mitzvah is, separate challah and give it to the kayin. Once you separate that challah, it's like truma. And it's makabel truma up to the level of shlishi. Before you separate challah, that's the question. It is in the state of the being ready for challah, and the question becomes whether chulin hatulim l'challah is like challah or not. That's going to be the discussion of this Gemara. Yes?
If you have chulin, which is shiny, that's usually the first type of herb, correct?
Yes, no.
If you eat with the earth chosen, and chulin, which is shiny, touches your food, are you able to
eat? No. No.
So why is it, you know, why do people say that it stops there? It doesn't stop. It's
for the regular person who eats Taras Chulun, it stops there. Again, we'll try it one more time. Biblically speaking, the regular...
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's all I care about now. A regular person who's not keeping Taras Truma and Taras Akaitis, which was a regular Frum Yid, Talmud Chacham in those days, There's no reason for him. He never eats truma, and he never eats kiddush, and he's not from the people that were machmer to treat it like kiddush. So he was a nice, from yid, very respected, learned, zoyer b'kala k'b'chamura, kept everything. His sheni, it stopped right there. That's all. Exactly, that's all it was. That's all it was.
Okay.
And kept tara. The Maratim didn't keep tara. Again, we're talking about the regular level, entry level chaverim. That's all we're talking about. We don't have to. We make it. You know, when you learn Maseches Chagiga, you think that 90% of Klal Yisrael ate al taras hakodesh. That's not what happened. Unfortunately, a good portion didn't eat it betara at all. And then even the people that ate betara, right with them, did not keep taras truma taras hakodesh. There was no reason for them to do it. Why? I'm never going to eat truma. And I'm never going to eat kiddush. So why? Something about rice. Tanan Hassam. I'm the last narrow line on that government base. Tanan Hassam. Noilu la suffik tumma. Achila gilgala. I have a suffik tumma before I turned it into dough. I don't know what he calls gilgala. Before I turned it into dough. How does he translate the word gilgala? What?
Formed. Formed into dough.
Formed. So it was formed into dough. Tasim etumah. He can now. Let me explain. If once it's tameh, if it's suffik tameh, the kayim won't be able to eat it. So here he has a case that he has a dough that became suffik tameh. Not a dough. Sorry. He has flour that became suffik tameh. Right. Or water that became suffik tameh. And he wants to make dough. Now when he makes that dough. And then he separates the challah, the kayim won't be able to eat it. Because that challah will have the same suffix he had when he made it. And it started with the suffix tumma. The answer is, there's no reason to be machmer. This is not at the stage, right? It's going to be, at the end of the day, the kayim won't be able to eat it anyway. It's suffix tumma. It happened already, right? So what is he supposed to do? Doesn't have to throw it out. He wants to eat it. He'll eat it in the days that he's tamei. He'll eat the dough. He won't eat the challah. He'll eat the dough. So he'll separate challah, give it to the kayah. What will the kayah do with it? He won't be able to burn it. He won't be able to eat it because it's a suffix tamei. But meanwhile, the Yisrael at home can enjoy the rest of the dough. Right? The halacha was to give 1/24 to the kayah. That was the percentage. A little bit more than 4%. You gave it to the client, and 96% was yours. So here's the Yisrael. He has flour and suffering tummy. He says to himself, what am I supposed to do now? So he's going to make the dough. He's going to give it the challah to the client. Tell the client, I'm sorry, this is suffering tummy. The client will be stuck with 4% that he can't do much with. He can't burn it because it might be tar. He can't eat it because it might be tummy. But meanwhile, the Yisrael will have the 96%. Now, the question is not that. The question is he allowed to not worry about tumah anymore. Because at the end of the day, the chachayim is going to end up with tumah anyway. So can he now not be careful? Because they were very careful to keep it from becoming tumah. But this is already suffering tumah. So can he now say, okay, I might as well not care anymore. Because whether it's tumah or not, the halacha is going to be the same. Because it's already suffering tumah. So can I now let it become varai tumah? So the halacha is, if it's before you make the dough, no problem. You can let it become barai tameh. It's not going to make a difference practically, because the kain's going to get it, he can't eat it. He'll be able to burn it then, but it's not going to make a difference if the kain's eating it. As far as Yisrael is concerned, he's going to have to treat it as suffik tameh anyway, and only eat it when he's tameh. So there's no prohibition of making this more tameh than it is now. Meaning, now it's a suffik tameh. He's going to let it become vadai tameh. He's going to let his wife, Danida, knead the dough and work with it. She's going to make it vadai tameh. But who cares? It's not, there's no isser in making chulin tameh. He can make chulin tameh. Listen, his wife's going to need something to eat while she's Danida. He's going to have to eat something when he's about carry. He'll use that dough then. There's nothing wrong. He's not violating a prohibition. However, once this dough is made and it's ready to take challah, You're not allowed to make Safik Tamei Challah Tamei. There's a prohibition. Not because it's going to make a difference. The Safik Challah Tamei can't be eaten anyway. The Torah assured making a Safik into a Vadai. A Safik Tamei by Challah, you're not allowed to make it a Vadai Tamei. It's Gzeirat HaKasuv. Practically, no difference. If it's Safik, you can't eat it. If it's Vadai, you can't eat it. So why can't I make a Tamei? Because the Torah said I can't. The Torah said if you have a challah separated, meaning when I say challah, I don't mean a whole loaf. I mean the part that's challah. And if I have it separated, or even when I have the dough ready to take challah, I'm not allowed to make something that's suffik tameh into vadai tameh. The Torah wants you to keep it as tar as you can. And since it is only a suffix, making it vadai is making it definitively tamei. There's no practical difference except that you can burn it now, but the Torah bans it. So now the question is, when does that ban start? We know that if you have a suffix tamei challah, you can't make it tamei. We know that before you mix the water and the flour, there's no reason I can't make it tamei. I can make chulin tamei. I can make my applesauce tamei. There's no ban on me making chulin tamei, at least according to this Gemara. So now the question becomes, in the middle stage, it's dough. It's ready to take challah from. It's ready to go. It didn't go anywhere yet. I didn't take the challah yet. It's still chulin, but it's ready to take challah. Is there a prohibition for me to make this more tamei than it was? It was maybe tamei, maybe not tamei. If I don't watch it now, it's going to become tamei. If I let my wife, who's a nida, knead the dough, it's going to take this dough from work with the dough. It's an existing dough that's suffik tamei. If I tell my wife, can you please make the bread? And she's going to make a vadai tamei. Am I violating something? Am I not watching it? If it were separated already, it would be an isser. If it were before it was made into dough, it would be legal to make it more tamei. It's not challah. It's chulin. I'm allowed to be metame chulin. The question this Mishnah is going to deal with, that we're quoting, is if it's in the middle stage. Middle stage meaning it's already prepared. It's in the stage that you can now separate challah. But you haven't yet. Can you have it become vadai tamei? Or are you obligated to keep it at its state of suffix? Now, when you separate it and give it to the kohen, he's not going to eat it anyway. And you're going to eat it in the days of your tumah anyway. There's no practical difference, except that he'll be able to burn the challah. But as far as eating is concerned, there's no practical difference. But the Torah said, you're obligated to watch safik challah from becoming tameh. Is this safik challah? It's not challah yet, but it's ready to take challah. That is called in Gemara language, chulin hatvulin l'challah. The chulin is tevel for challah, meaning to ready in the state that I can separate challah. When it's water and flour, I can't separate challah. It has to be dough. It's already dough. But challah hasn't been separated. So what halacha does it have? Yes, doctor.
Sorry, this is from the very beginning. I don't understand timing here. In that, how do you have flour, which is, it's not masher. I mean, how does it become?
So fine, that's why I said the water. I changed it to the water.
Where is the water?
I know in a keli. And the sheret touched it. Maybe touched it. Something
so done. You've got water separate from flour, and the only part... Okay. Then I don't see why we were saying flour at all.
Okay. That's what you used to make
that. Rabbi, can I ask a question about the status of the kalim that a Suffolk Tame Kala affects or doesn't affect? So it's in a wooden bowl.
The wooden bowl... Okay, it depends what made this thing suffik tamei. Remember, food and drink can be makabel tuma from a rishon l'tuma. And kalim need an ava tuma. So I don't know what touched this water or whatever to make it a suffik, or what are we worried touched. So depending on the status of the state, the level of that tuma, it would determine whether the keli is a suffik tamei. Now, say the keli is a suffik tamei is not a problem. I'll take it to the mikvah and it becomes tahor. Food can never become tahor. I can't take a tummy food and make it to her. Impossible. The only thing I can do is water. Water has the ability to become tar by touching it to a mikvah. It becomes part of the mikvah. It's not really titling it. You can't title water. What you do is you touch it to mikvah water, and it becomes part of the mikvah. But we're not getting involved in that now. That's off the subject.
The Mishnah said, the Brisa says we have to treat this as tahara, but there's just a chance that everything it touched is going to have to be.
Well, not true, because the food will never touch make a keli tame. It'll only be to itself. It's a question about itself. Is this, am I allowed to make this from a suffix to a vadai? Can I change it from a maybe to a definite? Am I obligated to keep it? Yes.
Okay, but in its suffix state, before we've made it intentionally tame, it's a potentially impacting the kli, correct?
No, food can never be metame keli.
It cannot affect that. Okay.
No. Absolutely. You have to give it to a kohen. And he has to burn it. I mean, if he told you to burn it for him, he could do that.
In other words, today, ladies burn it.
This is what we do is rabbinic challah.
And back then, you still had to give it to the kohen first, and he had to burn it.
If you had to give the challah to the kohen, he could ask you, please burn it for me. Tanan Hassan. If these items that are you make dough out of became Safek Tame, actually Gilgala, before you created it into dough, Tase Betumah, you can make it Vadai Tame. Mr. Gilgala, once it's dough, Tase Betara. You have to keep it as if it's Tahar. It's not. It's Safek. But you have to act with it as if it's Tahar. Don't let your wife touch it if she's an Ida. Actually, Gilgal Tase Betumah, why? Chulaninu. It's in the state of Chulin. There's nothing wrong in making Chulin Tame in Eretz Yisrael. Not everybody agrees to this, but that's the opinion of this Mishnah. Mr. Gilgal Tase Betara, once you mixed it with water, you have to proceed Betara, because Chulin Atvulin L'chala K'chala Dami. Because Chulin, that's ready for Chala, I don't know how he translates the word Tvulin, is ready to take off Chala, is considered chala, the asur ligram tumah l'chala, and I'm not allowed to make chala tumah. That is a Mishnah in Masechtas Chala. Zuck Rashi, Gil noidel la, gesina noidel beisa suffik tumah. Gilgul b'chulin, zel, where's Rashi? 14 lines to the bottom. Nailud be isa safik tuma. In the dough, there's a safik tuma. Gilgul b'chulin, that's, I don't know exactly what the process of gilgul is, but it means mixing it well. What?
Forming it.
Zer gemar malocha l'chala. That's when it gets ready for chala. This is the last step before you separate chala. Tase b'tuma. If you want to, yitamenu b'yad. You can be metame with your hands. Meaning, if you're a tame, you can touch it. If your wife's tame, she can touch it. The saif, at the end of the day, chalas safek yivalei taicha, won't be eaten anyway. So why should I make a tame? But if it's ready in this, ready for chala, tase betara, bekelim tahirim, I have to use kelim tahirim. If I'm tame, I can't touch it. And if my wife's tame, she can't touch it. Even though at the end of the day, when I separate the challah, he won't be able to eat it. Asur l'tama b'yad. I'm still not allowed to be metame it. Hoyo v'nigmar malachta l'challah. Asur ligram l'atuma v'adois. Since it's ready for challah, I cannot make it definitively tame. D'chsev, v'ani nasati l'chos mishmeres trumaisai. I gave you the obligation to watch your trumais, plural. What is the plural? Truma is singular. It means two levels. Whether it's tar or suffik, tuya means suffik, hanging. So the Torah said you're obligated to watch the suffix, not to be a vadai, even though practically there's no difference. In fact, the kain's better off with a vadai tumah than a suffix tumah, because a vadai tumah can use a fire to burn it. Suffix tumah you can't burn it, can't do anything with it. But that's like a difference. The Torah said you got to keep your challah tahor. Now this is suffix. I still have to keep it as tahor as it is, as I know. I'm not allowed to add tumah. However, if it's chulin, it's not challah. I have no restriction. So the Mishnah is telling us, challah doesn't have to be challah. Challah can be when it's ready for challah. It already gets the prohibition of making it tameh. Once it's ready for challah, the Rabbanan said, treat it as it's challah. Zag de Gemara. Tara. We learned in a brisa, challah tluya. What happens to the challah? It is a suffix, hanging, meaning it's still a suffix. It started off as a suffix. Lo yichlin, v'lo yisarfin. Not, you can't eat it, and you can't burn it. Rashi, chalasa tluya, kisha'asa et batara, mishum suffix anayil l'arishin, because of the original suffix. Now, the braisa continues, be'eza suffix amru, which kind of a suffix did we have to tell you that you have to treat it as a suffix, right? Which kind of suffix, to which kind of suffix do we extend this halacha? The suffix chala. Which means something, a tumah, that only applies to chala and doesn't apply to chulin. Now the Bryce is adding, this, there can be many svekas. There can be a suffix that would be a suffix in chulin also. There are certain things that are not matami chulin, but we treat it, we say, it's matami chala. Even those kind of svekas, which are only chumras, so to speak. Because really, if this were chulin, it wouldn't even be a suffix. And we're going to give an example in a minute what it is. Even that, if it's a suffix on the dough, don't make it more tame. Even that, zotrashi, be'ez a suffix amru, kalema, be'ez a suffix chutz chulay mechalas atluya. And what, to what level do we have to say that the challah remains a suffix? The suffix challah. The suffix tumah neheges b'challah. The ainah neheges b'chulin. Now Rashi is going to tell you an example of that, which the Gemara will get into. You got nishan. You're leaning. And I'm going to explain that as I finish the Rashi. His mefarish b'samach. The Torah of the Akhasis. This is Torah that people going in shul, meaning to a regular person who keeps chulin tara, he has nothing to worry about this thing called nishan, leaning, the vasa l'truma, the itzvich lashminan, the afagam le'naga b'chulim. Even though it has been regular chulim, I wouldn't even consider it a suffix. I would say it's 100% tar. Greda, the great chulin greda, greda by itself. Hacha kivin, the tfulin l'chala, it's a big chumrah. Here is a dough. It got a suffix tumah. A suffix tumah that by chulin wouldn't even be considered a suffix. By chulin we would say, eat, be happy and be merry, and enjoy yourself. We wouldn't even say it's a suffix. We would tell people in the shul, the Talmid Chachamim, come and join us for the kiddush. No problem. But since this is an already t'challah, and by challah we're machmer, we're going to be machmer even before it became challah. Not only the real suffix, but a suffix that's far out in the sense that we wouldn't even consider it a suffix vis-a-vis chulim. We're only considering a suffix because in challah we're more machmer. And even that, when it's in the ready state to take up challah, we treat it like challah and we say, sorry, you got to treat this as a suffix and you can't make it tameh, and you can't treat it as tar. You can't eat it. Even though if it were chulim, you can eat it. But it's not chulin. It's already ready for challah.
Is that a chumrah or
it's a chumrah.
Okay. I thought we got it from Lena, Lomar Cross, and you have to watch it, that's why.
Again, you only have to watch it if it's a Sabbath Tame. It's not Sabbath Tame. Had it been chulin, it wouldn't even be Sabbath Tame. I don't have to watch it when it's not a Sabbath Tame. Let me even say more, and I'm putting myself out on a limb because I think I'm right, even though I'll see the Gemara whether I'm right or not, I think I am. Let's say this suffix of Nishan, which we didn't explain yet, We're going to see it for the Gemara in a moment. Happened to, before I mixed the dough, before I made it into dough. So, yes, am I, do I have to worry about it? Rabbi says it's cool, don't worry about it. Now, half an hour later, I separate challah. I don't consider this something coming. It was Vaday Tor. The Rav told me it's Tor. I now it's challah, but when it became tummy, it was chulin. And by chulin, there's no such tumma.
There is or isn't.
The chumra is not by, they don't, by chulin, they consider it Vaday Tor.
So can you continue and you treat it as
Tor? It's Tor, and the client can eat it. I, had this suffix happened once I made it dough, I would have considered it suffix tummy. That's challah already. It's chulin, not chulin, the challah. Now, what is Nishan? What are we talking about? Zog to Gemara. Abayim and Rav Adami Tavayu, they explain this. Shaloi Taimer Bahechacha Shininu. Don't think that this is a Suffolk Tumah that we're talking about that's indicative, that leads us to think that it's really Tameh, a real Suffolk Tumah. And they give an example, and this is a very difficult example. Kamei Shnei Shvilin. There's a halacha that says that if you have two paths, and we know for sure that under one of them lies a corpse, and whoever walks that path is becoming tamei, but we don't know which of these paths is tamei. So the halacha is as follows: if Reuben walks down one path, and somebody tells him, you know, there might have been a corpse there. Calls his rabbi. Rabbi, I walked down path. I don't know what happened. The rabbi says, you have a cheskes tara. We don't know if you became tamei. You're tar. You're good to go.
Robin.
What?
There was just a rabbi.
Just a rabbi. That path is considered just a rabbi. Yes. Shimon calls 10 minutes later. Says, rabbi, I walked down path B. And now they tell me there might be a corpse there. Now Reuben had walked down path A, and Shimon had walked by path B. The rabbi listens to Shimon and says, Shimon, you have a cheskes tara, you are tar. To suffix b'shus harabim, you are tar. Now Reuben and Shimon, one of them is tameh. The rabbi told Reuben he's tar, and he told Shimon he's tar. Now if Reuben and Shimon touch a piece of something, it becomes tameh, because one of them is tameh. But we tell him he's tar. Now Lacha says, act like tar. Now, what happens if Reuben and Shimon come at the same time? And Reuben and Shimon are standing right there, and they say to the rabbi, we walked, and he says, hey, and he says, me. The halacha is that you can't rely on chazaka, because the Rav can't say tar to something that's impossible. He can't tell Reuben and Shimon at the same time, you are both tar. It's not true. He can tell Reuben he's tar separately. He can tell Shimon he's tar. But if they're both standing there to rabbinic chumrah, then the rabbi can't say you're both tar. You can't. It's not true. Halachically, you should be able to, because the truth is Reuben is tar and Shimon is tar. But you have to paskin together, halachically, you can't paskin. That's a rabbinic chumrah. Now, that rabbinic chumrah, we even make that by chulin. Even by chulin, we would be strict in that. Because it's a suffix that's more than a regular suffix. You got something in front of you that it stares you in the face that somebody here is coming. That's how they explain Rashi. I'm going to read Rashi. Rashi doesn't say that clearly, but to understand Rashi, that's how they explain it. So I told you the way that people explain the Rashi. So that's the case of Shnei Shvilin. The Hasam Chulin Nami, Grey the Nami Matamo. There they're also Matame Chulin. Now let's read Rashi. My suffix chala, klemah, my karma, what does this brisa mean? Shaloi tamer b'chacha sheninu, b'suffix tumah m'chachas, a suffix tumah that's indicative. Kigan shnei shvilim, echa tameh, v'echa tar. Suffix halach b'tameh, suffix halach b'tar. V'hos tzveika hi, the mahani b'chulin atulin l'chala. This is a suffix that for sure we would say is tameh. Why? The mahani, period. It doesn't say why. Right. But if it's not so indicative, not. The Hala Yitzchak Lashmina, that's not even a Kiddush. The Afila L'chulin Grey, the Nami Mahani. Even for a person that only eats Chulin Batara, we would tell him he can't eat Tameh. Like Chulin Batara. That's not a chiddush. This will be even by chulin. Now, right over here, now everybody asks, what do you mean? The Mishnah says, beferish, that if Reuven comes in and asks, we tell him he's tar. Rashi says, the guy walks down a path, and we tell him he's tameh. It's not true. The Mishnah says he's tar. Therefore, they say that Rashi means they both came at the same time. Because if each one came separately, the halacha is not that it's tameh. It's not true. We say you're tar. So Rashi's quoting that by the two paths, they ask, if he asks, we will tell him tameh. Even for Hulim. The Mishnah says not that way. That's the kasha on Rashi. Right. That's Tysus' kasha on Rashi. Again, the halacha in the Mishnah says that if Reuven walks down path A and comes and asks the Rav, am I tameh or tar? The Rav says tar. Again, I'm reading Rashi. How does Rashi translate Mukhechas? If you read the words of Rashi, Rashi says, something calling Batameh, something calling Batar. How many people are you talking about? Where do you see two? I translated it as two. That's exactly what I said. That's what he said. That's how Rashi always talks. Therefore, Tysus asked on Rashi, it's not true. So I'm answering you that it's talking about they both came at the same time. That's how they answer Rashi. That's all. I was speaking out the answer in Rashi to avoid someone asking me from a Mishnah that says not that one. Yes.
If the two of them did come separately, each one has passed power, if afterwards the two of them together touch some trumer or some touch,
it's tummy.
It's tummy. So this is a classic case of Schrodinger's cat for superposition.
If it makes you happy, it makes you me happy. I have no idea what you're talking about. You, for the last 30 years, have tried to persuade me what Schroeder's cat is, and I really don't know, and I'll even add something.
Actually, it's
24. Okay. I don't even care. That's the real truth, yes.
But in the case, you've got two Tara people touching a piece of Kaddish or Truma, and it becomes Tumma.
Correct.
You must carry some superposition
of
the Tumma.
Whatever you want to say, yes. It's not against the Sugya, but yes.
I'm getting around it.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
It makes no difference. For us, it doesn't make a difference.
That's what Schrodinger's cat is.
Fine, okay. So the cat walked down the path where there's a suffix on it. That's what you're talking about. Okay, bye.
Or at least...
Cats don't become dummy. Bye, back. Ella b'nishan. Now, let me explain this. What is nishan? The word nishan means meaning. Nitnan. Zov b'tahar. Sorry, parkim menachamor. One person is a zov, and the other person is tahar. Okay? Now, the rule is, if the zav carries another person, the person becomes tameh. If the other person carries the zav, he becomes tameh. So let's say, Reuven is a zav, and Shimon is tahar. If Shimon carries Reuven, Shimon becomes tameh. If Reuven carries Shimon, he becomes tameh. For different reasons. If Reuven carries Shimon, that's called, Shimon is carried by the zav, he becomes Tameh. And if Shimon carries Reuven, Shimon is moving the Zav, and therefore Shimon becomes Tameh. Either way, regardless of who carries whom, it becomes Tameh. Now, they're carrying things, they're unloading an animal. I tell you, either loading or unloading an animal. Bizman Shemassah and Kavod, when they're carrying a heavy package. Now, what happens with a heavy package is, sometimes one leans on the other, because since they're carrying something very heavy, it happens many times that as you carry, the weight shifts to one of the two, and the other person is leaning on the first person, not being picked up in the air, but he's put his weight against the other person. So therefore we say, tameh, he might have moved the zav, or the zav might have moved him. Masor and Kal, it's a light package, tahar. That's what the Mishnah says. That if it's a heavy package, we're afraid that one moved the other. And either way, it's tameh. whether the Zav moved the Tzar, the Tzar moved the Zav. If one leaned on the other, they're Tameh. The Tana and the Braisa says, I'm sorry, the Mishnah continues, the Kulon Tahirin Livnei Knesset. This is not a real suffix. Why should I assume that somebody put all his weight on the other guy? It's a chash, it's a fear. For Hulin, we wouldn't worry about it. Even though this is a tum of Zav, they didn't carry him and he didn't move him. They're carrying a package. Why are you afraid because they're unloading or loading, one puts his weight against the other one? It's a fear. But Tmeim Latruma. And therefore, even by that kind of a suffix, we say that if it's Hulin, that's Hulin Lechala, it's suffix Tameh. Meaning, Truma and Chala is the same. So this is a kind of Tuma that does not affect Hulin at all. Not a Tuma. Because in truth, there's really no reason to be afraid that one leans on the other. It's a Chumrah. It's a Chumrah said by Truma and Chala. So the Bryce is telling us that if this Hulin is ready to take Chala, if this Zoh is ready for Chala, we treat it like Chala, and if they were carrying a heavy package of dough off the chamar, this would come a suffik tameh, and you'd have to treat it like a real suffik tameh, even though it's still chulin, but it's ready for challah. And the person would become tameh, the Torah person, and if he touched this dough, it'd be a suffik tameh. So chumrah by challah. Let's do the Rashi. Zok Rashi. My suffik, we did that already. El afilu b'nishan. It's not indicative. Since we say as far as truma is concerned, we consider it a suffix. It works for chulin, which is ready for chala. Parkin masoi, they remove a package. Tamei, the shemen b'toyach koyber amasa, because of the heaviness of the package. Nishan zav al atar, the zav might have leaned his body weight on the tar. But him to tar masitai, that means the tar moved him. I tar nisit alav, or maybe the tar leaned on him. And it says by the thing that the zav rides, the saddle. And I say isam, if you carry it, right? If the carriage koshkein zav baasma, if the zav carries something, it becomes tameh. The kulan afil a masa kaved, even a heavy package. Tahirim lebeis haknesses, eichlin chuleim betara. People that eat chulin betara. She'ein zehesed gomer. This is not really moving. We don't know this happened. It's not even a real suffix. But coach gets a suffix. At best, it's a far out suffix. Utmeim l'truma midrabanan v'afilu b'suffix. The chulin hatulin l'chala k'chala dami the mahanu bu suffix nishan. We treat the suffix of nishan, which every case of nishan is, k'chala gemura, like complete chala. Yes, doctor.
I thought we were going to see an example, especially given the Masech we're in, a woman who was Nida who walked through a kitchen, and she doesn't remember whether or not she touched the dough or there were two piles of dough and she didn't touch one or the other. So obviously this must be a much lighter tumma than that. Why? You know, would this also be the case of
no,
where it's
not? No, because if something tumma, just a yonker, it would be tumma.
Thank you.
Here we're talking about far out suffix. The probability of one carrying the other is minute. And therefore, if somebody called up and said, I was working with the Zav, we were unloading the package, is my food tar or tummy now? They would say, go ahead, eat it, take it to shul, give kiddush, it's fine.
Why is it leaning, not touching?
No, but you touch yourself, you become tameh. What happens is the two people carrying a heavy weight. One's carrying one side, one's carrying the other side. They're not touching each other. And you want to know why isn't the weight tameh? So therefore the other person becomes tameh from the weight. The answer is the weight is a rishon, and therefore cannot make the other person tameh.
So if there's leaning, there's no touching?
They're not touching each other. The one might be leaning on the other, meaning like this. Let's say somebody strong, a Zav, carries a person without touching him. The person's on a bed, and this guy picks up the bed. The person becomes tamei, because Zav carried him. Let's say a strong person who's tar picks up a bed that's tamei, that Zav is on. He becomes tamei. He moved the Zav. Here, when they're carrying this big package, it's possible that they put all their weight on the other person. Possible. But it's highly improbable.
Yes, very good. He's asking very good.
Who's asking?
For Bush.
He hasn't said anything yet.
I have a puzzled look on my face that he saw.
Oh, okay.
What did that mean, leaning, then? I didn't understand. And I thought they were touching each other when they were
No, they were not touching. If they touched, he's definitely tame.
So what does leaning mean?
I'm trying to explain this. Let me try to explain it the best I can. Sometimes when I'll give an example. Me and my wife are moving down a heavy bed from the second floor to the basement, so from the moving up from the basement to the second floor. At some point during the move, one person is getting the main weight. And not only getting the main weight, but it even could be that the other guy is leaning on the item and adds his weight. That's leaning. That means the person who's carrying now, shouldered with the main weight, is also carrying, in a certain sense, no, he didn't pick him off the ground, the person that's
adding pressure.
That's called leaning.
And that makes it the other person...
Exactly. Whether the Zav is leaning on the Tar is leaning on the Zav, it makes him Tame. Because it's considered either that the Zav is carrying the Tar or is being moved by the Tar. Correct. But they're not touching each other. Yes, Doctor.
Actually, anytime anyone carries any load, which is in between two people, there are two forces. You break this up into two forces. One is a vertical force, which is lifting the thing upwards. The other is a horizontal force, which prevents you from being pulled into the middle. So that can in fact be interpreted as leaning, but that's straight physics.
Okay. Anyway, I'm glad that when I carry something, I don't think about which force I'm doing. I just want to carry it and get it done.
It makes it a lot more easy. Okay.
Something about it. So that's what we've established. What we've established is that even by rabbinic tumah, we're willing to treat tulin atulin lechala as chala. We're setting up a question. We're bringing this whole Mishnah in to set up one question. Yesterday we said that meisleis shebenida is, according to the second lashon of Rav Huna, affects truma as well. The 24-hour period of Anita retroactively affects Truma as well. First Lashon said no, second Lashon said yes. But it doesn't affect the Chulin that's ready for Truma. Chulin HaTvulin L'Chulin, right? We said it doesn't affect the person that eats Altaris Truma. We weren't Machmer by somebody that goes as far as Taris Chulin, as Taris Truma. Here we see that we're treating things that are ready for challah, like challah by rabbinic tumah. And there we see that by the rabbinic tumah of meisleis, we differentiated between real tumah and something that's treated like tumah. That's why we're bringing this in, to point out that there's a little bit of a contradiction, and we'll see this tomorrow as we go along. But what we see, we're trying to point out, here you have a case of rabbinic tumma. The raya is, this happened with chulin, we wouldn't even consider him tamei. And when it came to the chulin, that's chulin l'chala, machmer, even though it's chulin. And yesterday we said, with the rabbinic tumma on chulin, on tumma, the 24-hour period, we limit it to real tumma. Not to not real tumma. Not to taris tumma. I mean, make up your mind. Are we being machmer by those things? Or are we being mekel? Now the Gemara is comparing chulin altaris truma to chulin that's ready to take challah. That's the assumption of the Gemara and the comparison, and the Gemara will drive a wedge between them, and that's what we're going to see. That's why this is here. Why all of a sudden are we discussing Masechet Skala? We just spent a half an hour in the Gemara discussing Masechet Skala. Because we set it up that here we are with a Chumrei Drabanan, and we extended this Chumrei Drabanan to not only Chala, but to Chulin Atzvulin L'Chala. That means we're treating Chulin, not Chala yet, but it's ready to take Chala. We're giving it the severity of real Chala. And yesterday we saw that the severity of Truma and Truma and Chala is synonymous. It's not extended, it's opened by Truma itself. That's going to be the contradiction. That's what the Gemara is driving at. And Rabbi Hashem will continue tomorrow. Rabbi Hashem will...